Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, June the 3rd, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 56 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. Looks like it's going to be a great Friday for all of us. We're going to have a guest joining us here momentarily, but I do want to remind everybody that the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will follow this show this morning at 9:10 a.m., and then I'll be back at 10:10 this morning, and we've got a lot to talk about, and we might even play Family Feud. We have not done that for quite some time, and at 10:10 a.m. this morning, we might do that. Have some fun on this Getaway Friday. There are a few items in the news I want to talk about, so we might do that at 10 o'clock as well, but we're mostly going to have fun, play Family Feud, after the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 9:10 this morning. Also, do want to talk about attending the opening of the Mary Ellen Withrow Museum last night at the Marion County Historical Society. I'll talk a little bit about that. I did do an interview, it's only about 15 minutes long, with Mary Ellen and Governor Strickland, who was there. He was the surprise guest, and I will play that probably during the 10 o'clock hour this morning. Got to see my good friends John and Carolyn Heimlich last night at the Mary Ellen Withrow event, so I was glad to see them. They said they would be out there listening this morning. I know they are, so hello to John and Carolyn. Also, Fred Malone did a great job with that last night, and I, you know, really had the first chance. It was really the first time I got to talk with Brandy, who is the I want to get her position right, but I know she basically is the manager of the Historical Society, and I had a great, great conversation with her. I did not realize she listened to the station. If she's out there listening this morning, hello to you, Brandy. But I had a wonderful conversation with her, and I think it's going to produce some great things here on the station in the upcoming months. So that was a lot of fun. The museum is just something. Everybody really should go there and see it. I had not seen it at all until last night, and I was so impressed with this area and how well it's done. Really, I tip my Cubs cap to Mary Ellen Withrow for all that she had done and all these items she kept over the years clearly make this museum special. And then I tip my Cubs cap to the Marion County Historical Society in a big way for showcasing these items in such a special way. I mean, this museum is second to none, and I really, really mean that. It's very impressive. Anybody from anywhere around the world that came to visit this place would be impressed. It is lighted well. It is showcased well. The right things are displayed. It really is remarkable. So everybody involved with that, as I say, my Cubs cap is tipped to you. So congratulations to everybody who participated in that event last night and made that such a huge success, which I believe that it absolutely was. And the ribbon cutting was great. So basically, what more can I say? What an event it was. And we'll talk a little bit more about that during the 10 o'clock hour. And as I say, we'll have that 15-minute interview with Governor Strickland and Mary Ellen. Oh, and Mary Ellen's kids participated in this interview, and I believe Fred Malone as well. So during this 15 minutes, you'll get to hear what kind of mother Mary Ellen Withrow was. And that was kind of interesting. These were two kids who I don't believe I've ever interviewed before. They were there for the big event last night. So pay attention for that at 10 o'clock this morning. And then we'll do Family Feud. And I do also have a few things to say about something going on here in the community that I've talked a little bit about this week, but the story has changed. I know I'm trying not to get too far into it because I know our guest is going to join us here momentarily, but I'll get into it more at 10 o'clock. I've talked about it, but it's taken an ugly turn, in my opinion, and there are just some things I have to say about it at 10:15. So 10:15, we'll do the Mary Ellen interview. We'll do the little bit on this news story, and then we'll do Family Feud. But don't forget the pastor spot first, coming up at 9:15, and we'll also have our interview coming up here momentarily on the program. So a lot of stuff going on this Getaway Friday here on WWGH Radio. Let's see. Well, you know, there are a lot of events going on. You know, as we get into the month of June, people are ready. School is out. Most of the graduation parties have happened. And people are ready to start getting in the thick of summer. Even though we've still got, 18 days until the official start of summer? But people are ready. People are ready to go. And nothing wrong with that. I know these events in Caledonia are going to be kicking off very soon. I think, a matter of fact, this weekend. We've got the fair, of course, coming up in July, starting July 4th this year. We've got I think they are calling it the Orang Bang, coming up the middle of June. And that should be a lot of fun for the people over in LaRue. Don't say LaRue, say LaRue. And we've also got the Pickle Festival coming up at the end of June down in Dayton. So a lot of events coming up here right around the corner. And I know there are more things going on than that. The Third Thursdays are going on downtown. Matter of fact, I was kind of in the middle of that last night as I went downtown for the Mary Ellen Withrow event. A lot of people down there. Now, I will tell you this. I thought there would be more people. Now, maybe this has to do with the fact that people don't know that some things are going on. We talked about that with the mayor. I believe when he was on, was it last week? About how it's hard to tell people that things are going on. Because it was a beautiful night last night. Couldn't have got any better weather. There just wasn't as many people as I thought. And I hope it grows, because it looked like everybody who was there was having a tremendous time. And that's what you want to see. You want to see people having a good time and enjoying Marion as a whole. And, you know, when you drive downtown on a weekday night like that, on a Thursday night, and you see all the fun going on downtown, and you see all the events, and you see the businesses downtown, that's nice. If you want to get some happiness and some joy and some good thoughts about the city and county of Marion, that's how to do it. Go downtown, see what's going on, see the kids laughing and the adults having a good time. It really is something. Oh, by the way, I do want to say that I appreciate. I got another card in the mail from our dear friends Phyllis and Larry Shirk. I really can't thank you enough for sending these cards. I always get a little update on what's going on with them and their best thoughts in regard to me, and I appreciate that. So thank you, Phyllis and Larry. Jeannie Evers sent me a sympathy card. Now, this is something I was going to talk about. Maybe I can get it in here before our guest calls. You know, I said earlier on in the week that I had a death in my family last week, and I don't know if people send sympathy cards anymore, but Jeannie sent me a beautiful, beautiful sympathy card and wrote a nice little note in there, and I appreciate that, and I thank her for doing that. That's very, very, very nice. But is that something that, you know, like Christmas cards and get well cards, is that something people don't do anymore? I'm sure glad people like Jeannie still do it, because it does mean a lot when you get those. So, Jeannie, I thank you for the Biffy card, and appreciate that you took the time to do that. And I'll tell you what, postage is no cheap thing anymore, so sending these cards out is not exactly cheap anymore. Matter of fact, buying cards in general is not exactly a cheap proposition anymore. So thanks for the sympathy card, and of course, Phyllis and Larry, thank you so much for the Get Well card, which those mean a lot. So thank you so much. I was able to get to the studio yesterday, and actually, I had them dropped off. I did not make it to the studio yesterday. Terry Tackett was very kind to drop those items off for me yesterday, so I thank him for that. We also have some giveaways today. We had Bettman and Halpin on yesterday. Hope you enjoyed that interview. They gave us some CDs to give away. I believe we have four of them here. So maybe when we do Family Feud today, we'll give away some of these CDs. There are two different CDs. One is called Timeless, and the other is called 1,000 Miles. Now, there's a song they do called Fiddler's Bend, and I think it's one of the best songs. I know it's online. I wonder if it's on either one of these CDs. Let me look here. I don't see it on the CDs, but any song they do is very good. What's so great about their songs, as I said yesterday, is that you can understand the lyrics. You can understand the lyrics, and they seem to have a lot of fun performing their songs. So we do have the Bettman and Halpin CDs to give away, and maybe we'll do that with our Family Feud later on this morning here on WWGH Radio. Hope everybody has great plans today as we head into the big weekend. I don't really have any big plans this weekend that I can think of. Maybe just lay back this weekend and enjoy everything that's going on. Enjoy the weather. Sometimes just laying back and enjoying is what we need to do for relaxation. 25 minutes past the hour. Hopefully our guest will join us here momentarily. You know, live guests, booking live guests, is always an interesting proposition because people get busy and people forget. But hopefully we'll have this person momentarily. If not, we'll have to switch up gears here on this Friday and go into something else here and see what else we can talk about. You know, as I say, I don't want to get into this event that I'm going to talk about later on too deep at this point, because I have talked about it this week. But boy, there have just been some developments since I talked about it that I find really unbelievable. So, that being said, we'll get into it at 10 o'clock. Does anybody have anything on their mind this morning? 59 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion, 27 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Anything on anybody's mind out there in the listening audience this morning? Do you have any big plans for this upcoming week? Did we ever learn anything more about the Orang Bang? The last we heard, there is apparently a banner on Delaware Avenue letting us know that this is going to happen. I believe the dates on it are the 10th and the 11th, but we did have some questions in regard to would there be rides, would there be food, what kind of event would this be? If anybody has any information, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. A matter of fact, we're going to switch gears here this morning. We have a guest for the remainder of the hour, somebody we have had on the program many times, but certainly this morning kind of under different circumstances, just to see what is going on. As many of you know, News was made this week when Marion City Schools Superintendent Dr. Ron Arusi announced that he would be resigning his position as superintendent of the Marion City School District effective July 31st. To find out why this all happened and what the future holds, we're so glad to be welcomed to these microphones by Dr. Ron Arusi. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. Good morning. Sorry I'm a couple minutes late. I had some issues to take care of this morning, but here I am.
But hey, no problem at all. Glad to have you on the program. I guess the first question is why are you resigning?
You know, Scott, I just have some opportunities, you know, now that I've kind of retired from SCRS, I'm kind of available to do just about anything I want these days. And so my wife and I and my family have made some decisions to explore some other opportunities outside of education. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
I did want to talk with you because we got some emails about this. You appeared on the program here on May 18th. And one of the questions I asked you was, would you be back next year? Did you feel like that was going to happen? And you said, as far as you knew, you would be back and had no other opportunities that would take you away from that. And that was May 18th. What happened in the last 12 days between that interview and the announcement of the resignation?
Well, you know, just some personal things, Scott, you know, with my family and things that caused us to kind of look in some other directions, really. It wasn't expected at that point, but, you know, when your family gets together and makes some of those decisions and has some of those conversations, you know, some things change. So I wouldn't, you know, point anything specifically to the district here, but just a personal choice that I made with my family in that time.
One of the things I want to talk about, because we've had you on several times and you've always been very accommodating in that way, but this has been anybody looking at the Marion City School District right now, even though other districts have their problems, would say the last 5 months have been very tumultuous. We have seen the resignation of the school board president. We saw the resignation of the assistant superintendent. We've seen resignations of principals. We saw for the first time in the history a board member position having to be filled by a judge here in town, Judge Fregali, because board members could not agree on it. We saw people show up at board meetings talking about discipline. The Columbus media came to town and did stories on this. The local newspaper did stories on this. That's a five-month period, and now the resignation of the superintendent. That's a tumultuous period by any stretch of any school district. Would you not agree?
Well, yeah, Scott. I think, though, you know, if you just look at, you know, and I have social media, and I follow, you know, different school districts and media when anytime there's issues with schools. I mean, this is happening all over the country. This is not just unique to Marion City. I mean, there are, I think that, you know, and I say this all the time, and I don't know how many people agree with this, but, you know, the pandemic changed the world, and specifically in relation to education. It was so divisive, especially because educators were left to make decisions that we really don't know anything about. We're not healthcare experts. We didn't sign up for education and then try to figure out how to protect people from a deadly virus. And then, you know, even my saying deadly virus causes people, you know, it causes divisiveness. It's not deadly. It's this, it's that. It's, you know, I think this is the result and the effect of all of those political type of issues surrounding the pandemic. And then, you know, there's also political type issues now when it comes to student discipline and how that should be handled. You know, there's people that don't believe that, that we should be engaging in social emotional learning in schools, that we should focus primarily on the academic piece. And that's become a source of contention amongst communities. And I think, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and try to do the best I could during that situation and make decisions that I thought were in the best interest of the kids that we've had. But again, I don't know if they were the right decisions. I really don't. You know, I'm not sure if we would have went in another. I wish we could have went in another direction. I wish we didn't have to be in a hybrid model for over a year. I wish our current seniors didn't have to miss, you know, two sports seasons of their whole high school career. And dealing with that, you know, I think, and, you know, the couple events over the last couple weeks, you know, just really make you sit back and wonder. You know, we have, again, you know, we have a mass murder of elementary children in school where kids are supposed to be safe when they go to school. I couldn't imagine if I were a parent of one of those kids that was killed in a school district and you kiss them goodbye in the morning, sending them to the safest place in the world at school, and they're no longer there. You know, there was a student at where my wife works who stood up in the lunchroom in the last week of school, a seventh grader, and committed suicide. These kinds of things have been detrimental and absolutely devastating to education in general. And so, again, this is not unique to Marion City Schools. It's unfortunate that there's a lot of negativity going around right now. I understand it. People have many different views about how we should educate kids. And, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion. And, you know, sometimes this social discourse is good and may set Marion City Schools in a different direction. If that's what the community wants, then that's what the community should get. But, you know, I think it's you know, I keep hearing, well, this is a negativity surrounding Marion. You know, we're a mid-sized urban district with a lot of trauma and a lot of, you know, issues that we're facing, and it's not just happening in Marion. There are more superintendent, principal, teacher jobs opening right now than there ever been in the history of education itself.
And what you say is exactly right. I mean, there have been other superintendents that are resigning in Marion County. So jobs opening up are not what is unique to Marion City. I guess what people feel is unique to Marion City is that there was a school board change in January. And when that school board change happened, two new members came on the board, and how they started dealing with administration in meetings, how they started dealing with the media, right off the bat, was completely different than how that school board had done business before. And it was done in a very public way, and most people feel in a very critical way. Toward Marion City Schools, to the point to where a new board member could not be chosen because the four members on the school board could not agree upon it. And that had never happened in Marion City School history. Did you see a change when these two board members came on in January?
Well, yeah, it's obvious. And, you know, there's always change. And I've been a superintendent for 18 years now and have gone through board changes. And, you know, there's always a difference of opinion, and that's, you know, what people, I don't think that Rocky Ratliff or Scott Weibling made, you know, in their campaign, talked about things that they wanted to see happen in Marion City School when they were elected. And so, you know, that's part of the issue. You know, I hope that my hope is that, you know, that board will, you know, go through maybe some strategic planning and have some conversations and develop a shared vision. But that's not an easy task either. But eventually, I think that will happen here, that there will be a shared vision about where the direction that the school district's going. And that's my hope, is that, you know, maybe that with this change, we'll foster some new ideas. And, you know, I mean, Marion City Schools, like many other schools, have to make improvements. You know, we don't do well academically on our report cards. We struggle with discipline. We, you know, with some of those issues. We have a large number of teacher turnover, and we've had, you know, we've had administrators leave in the past. You know, when Gary Barber was the superintendent and he came on, you know, half of his cabinet also left. But I think it's just it was a different time then. But again, I think, you know, this is an opportunity for this district to come together and with new leadership and develop a shared vision. And that's my hope, and that's what I hope to see happen when I'm gone.
I want to bring this up. We talked about it last time, but now in light of things that have happened, maybe it makes more of a point. And I had never heard of this happening before. When Tara Dyer, the new school board member, was chosen to fill the vacated seat by Judge Frigali, she came on within days, came on this program within days of being chosen, and said, and this is a paraphrase, not a quote, but that one of the school board members, and people can go back and listen to it, I believe you heard that interview, one of the school board members' main objective was to see that Dr. Arusi was gone. When a school board member makes that known, that creates volatility, I would think, within the school board and the administration. I don't know how it couldn't. How did that relationship go on for 4 months and play into this resignation?
Well, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you know, that's sometimes a difficult situation. And so, you know, my take on it, that is, you know, I tried to establish a relationship with all of the stakeholders within the district. And so, you know, we had many discussions about that. I don't know if that's, you know, that was the case at one time, but nobody ever said that directly to me, that, you know, that in my conversations that they, you know, wanted me to leave. But if that's the case, you know, that's their opinion, and they're certainly entitled to it. But that has no bearing on what I'm doing right now.
Is this a happy resignation? Is this, you know, I'm happy, I'm going to go on, I'm going to do other things, obviously my life will go on? Or is this kind of, you know, it didn't have to be this way, I wish it could have been different? What kind of resignation is this?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, Scott. I mean, it's definitely bittersweet. I mean, I feel like, you know, I was just kind of reflecting when I was talking to Matt McCreary, and we were kind of putting together the press release, and we just wanted to go over, you know, some things that have happened in Marion since I've been involved here, and things like, you know, $14.5 million in grant funds to be able to, you know, expand what we're doing in our career pathways. You know, the creation of the Mary Ellen Withrow schools, both of those, and, you know, that those, you know, to help service some of our most at-risk students, and an entirely new literacy program that has been implemented over the years that we're starting to really see some positive results from. And, you know, just the creation of some systems within the school district to open the lines of communication. You know, when I got here, there were a lot of issues. You know, the district, when I got here, the district was in financial distress and had to non-renew and lay off a lot of people. And there was talk about doing away with, you know, the ESPs that we use for social emotional learning. You know, I'm proud of the fact that not 1 year here we've deficit spent. And so that has extended the financial situation of the district, and we were able to pass a renewal. And I feel like in my departure, this district is solid financially, and that's important. And so, you know, we made good decisions about some of those, you know, how we spent money, and we brought $14.5 million in to do the things necessary for our students. And so, you know, and we were looking again the other day, because we're getting ready for next year. I mean, our class sizes here in Marion City are, I would compare them to anybody in the state of Ohio. And we have benchmarks that we use for class sizes that are, you know, I don't know that we have a kindergarten, first or second grade next year that has more than 20 kids in a classroom. And, you know, back in the day, we used to stuff 30-some kids in a classroom, you know, especially at the kindergarten level. So, you know, we have established those. So our class sizes and the things that we have in place here in Marion are set up for success. And so hopefully, you know, I'll go back to this idea of, you know, getting everybody on the same page with a shared vision and new leadership about, you know, which direction that they're going into.
Would there have been any circumstance where you would have stayed in education and with Marion City Schools?
Yeah, I thought about it a lot. Scott, I mean, it's not something that, you know, again, the board a year ago. One of the reasons that we did the retire rehire is because the board approached me and wanted to extend out the contract, because I would have just kind of retired probably and it went away at the end of next year. And so they had that opportunity. It was an opportunity for me, obviously, and, you know, it was an opportunity for the district to save a little money. And so we did that in the hopes that, you know, we would continue to, you know, in the direction, especially with the academics and the career pathway things that we've put in place over the last 4.5 years. I would have liked to see that through. But again, I think, you know, going back and going through the pandemic and those 2.5 years were very difficult for a lot of people. You know, there were very, very many sleepless nights just wondering if you're doing the right thing and what's happening to our kids. And you know, that's what you get into education for. And you become a school leader because you care about you care about the education of kids, but you also care about their well-being. And that's what's been the most stressful these days.
With that being said, the previous board, as you just said, wanted to extend out your contract and wanted you to continue with the district. Did if the board had not changed, do you think you would be staying, honestly?
No, at this point in time, I don't think so. I really don't. I just, you know, again, some opportunities have come up outside of education, and, you know, my wife retired recently as well, and so, you know, it's just that time for us, Scott, as a family.
How was this greeted among the administrators and the staff at Marion City?
Well, I don't know. I've gotten quite a few messages and that about, you know, showing appreciation for the things that we've done throughout the years. And so, you know, I think there's obviously some, you know, there's always concern when there's a change in leadership. And I think there's probably some anxiety amongst the staff about what that's going to look like moving forward. You know, I think we're at the place now, and probably in the next week or so, we're going to have a special board meeting. I think that we've filled most of the principals' positions, you know, for those principals that left. I think we have some really good people coming on board. We're excited about the assistant superintendent search. We've got about 30-some applicants, and they're quality people. And so we're anxious to get that underway and get started and put that person in place. I think that will be very helpful. And then obviously the board has a decision to make on how they want to move forward with, you know, selecting a new superintendent, whether they want to have an interim for a while or they want to start the search as soon as possible.
You know, the school board, not just the Marion City School Board, but school boards in general are an interesting thing to talk about, because the administration, the superintendents of all school districts, sometimes get the heat for decisions made. But school board positions are elected positions. They do the hiring, they do the firing, they do the contracts, they set policy to a certain degree, but they really don't see a whole lot of heat. When it comes to these decisions, it goes more on the administration and the people who work for the district.
Sure.
When do you think that, because those are elected positions, they're not appointed positions in most cases, that people vote for people who are best suited for those positions?
Well, boy, that's an interesting question, Scott. I'm not sure I know how to answer that. You know, I think they are elected officials because they are representative of the community. And really, you know, it's the community school district. The school board members are elected to represent them, just like they elect representatives to the legislature, so that, you know, when you're making decisions, and I mean, really, so a school board's duties are to, you know, obviously hire or fire the superintendent and the treasurer, and to, you know, establish policy. And so when you're making policy, that's where the representation from the community comes into play. So, you know, if your policies, you know, and, you know, everybody, when they go to policy, they right away go to, like, student handbook and dress code and things like that. And, you know, but you're also policy-wise with attendance and, you know, student other student issues, but also how the district is actually run. The daily operations of the district are left up to the administration. And that's why I think the administration takes most of the heat. The board makes policy, but the administration, you know, really is there to run the district on a daily basis.
Well, I bring this up because of COVID and recently the discipline issue in Marion City Schools. Now, as you say, day-to-day operations and things that have to be done very quick are done by the administration. But when it comes to things, big blowouts that happened with mask wearing and yeah. Should school be in and should school not be in and the discipline issues, you know, things are suggested, but ultimately the school board votes for these things or could reverse these things if they wanted to. But it seems like the superintendent and the people in the district get the blame, not the school board.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I think every school board, every school district handled that differently. And that's partially part of the frustration, Scott, is, again, there's no manual on how to operate a school during a pandemic. You know, whose responsibility is it when you look at your board policy and to make decisions about daily operations? Does that then go back to the school board to make that decision of why, whether you should wear masks or not? You know, in this situation, if you recall, and many people may not know this, but, you know, there were suggestions made by the Ohio school boards that, you know, because of the pandemic and the nature of it and the amount of change that occurred, that many school boards just handed over those decisions to the administration. And to make those, and to keep the board informed. And so, you know, that was done very early on. It was done back in the spring, of 20 when the pandemic hit. And, you know, we had to make, you know, it wasn't many decisions because we were ordered, not to be in school by the governor. But then, you know, throughout that next summer, a lot of those decisions were left up to us to make. And, you know, it was amazing because throughout most of the summer, we thought we were going to be good. You know, we'd see the numbers go on, and then I think it was probably 3 weeks maybe before school started that number, you know, cases increased, and we had to make that decision to go to the hybrid model. And, you know, districts all over the state of Ohio and all over the country were in different modalities. You know, Columbus, I don't think Columbus Public went back to school. They were entirely remote until almost springtime. And, you know, we chose to be in a hybrid model in a different kind of situation. And that was what we felt was best for our community. So, again, you know, we were left up locally to make some of those decisions. And, you know, how many school board members actually know how to operate a school during a pandemic? You know, that's not what they do. They have day jobs for the most part. You know, but so, again, I think that's, you know, part of what's been the frustration. And I think that's why you're seeing so many people, you know, leaving education right now.
Hindsight's always 20/20. And again, nobody had ever faced a pandemic before. And all the changes that have gone on and all the people leaving education. Do you have any regrets when you look back at this time period? Think, well, I could have done that differently. I could have handled that differently.
Absolutely. I mean, I think any good leader reflects on the decisions and what, you know, what decisions we made and what we didn't. You know, I wish I don't know that I regret any of the decisions, but I wish that, you know, we would have had a lot more information to work with. I, you know, wish that we would not have to. I think that moving into the hybrid model, although we were able to see kids for the most part, I wish we would have been able to keep them in school, because I think it had a profound effect on a lot of our students being out of school, and I think their socialization skills and things like that really took steps backwards that, you know, we're seeing the effects of right now. But I don't know, you know, I mean, I guess I regret the situation. I don't know that I regret the decisions that we had to make.
We're chatting with Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent of the Marion City School District. This week announced his resignation effective July the 31st. We've got about 7 minutes left with Dr. Arusi here, and we appreciate the time. Dr. Arusi, what have the last 5 months been like in Marion City Schools? I mean, we've seen some of these board meetings. We've seen the resignations. We've seen the Columbus media come in. What has it been like internally and just at night when you go home? That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's a stressful situation. You know what I mean? And again, the stress is not necessarily, you know, we're pointing to school board meetings, but, you know, the stress comes from listening to teachers talk about, you know, their struggles in the classroom and how difficult it is with behaviors. The stress also comes from, why are the students behaving the way they are? What can I do to help these students so that they can, you know, obviously they're acting out because of a reason. They don't just come and want to be, you know, bad kids. There's a reason why they act that way. And what I regret is that, you know, I think we put some things in place, but that we didn't do a better job of, you know, really helping our kids so that, you know, they could get the support they need. You know, one of the things that we've been really trying to do here in Marion if it's a regret, is that we've been trying to bring more counseling services into the schools. And I think, you know, that's always been a struggle because many of our counseling agencies here within town now are really finding it hard to find people to do that work. And I really believe that is necessary moving forward, that the counseling agencies, you know, and the support they would have for families is necessary. You know, part of the grants, the $4.2 million that we just received, a good portion of that is to provide counseling services to families. So I think that's one of the things I think that is really necessary in the future.
I want to talk about this discipline point, Dr. Arusi, here before we run out of time, because a lot of people have said this to me, that when you're in a school building, if a child acts up or a teacher is hit or damaged or whatever it is, it obviously, nobody thinks that's the right thing to do. But within a school district, there are principals in the building. Most of the time, there are assistant principals. There are guidance counselors. There are people that they could report to and also report to the administration. What was shocking, I think, to a lot of people is that all of a sudden, this was not on the radar of the public. And then there were these board meetings where people, teachers, came in shirts all the same and told some very, very awful stories, some that brought teachers to tears in an organized way. When you look back at that, was that handled properly? Did it have to happen that way? Did it have to be handled in such a public way?
Well, that's a good question, Scott. I guess I never really thought about that much as far as how that was handled. I mean, I think that, you know, internally outside of the board meetings, you know, we were having many conversations about that. I understand that teachers wanted, you know, a lot more action than, you know, we were able to provide at that point in relation to some of those things. But, you know, throughout this whole process, it's been educational, both for our teachers and for us about the students and the laws that are in place and what we can and can't do. But we, you know, out of those conversations, we had some, you know, I think we put in place some really good supports for that. You know, some additional people to help in the halls and get kids moving and back to class and make sure they're doing the right things. And now we have, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, what we're doing with what we call de-escalation. So, you know, instead of just handling a student and, you know, in a manner that's probably going to end up with them out of school because of a situation that they're that's happening with that student, you know, we're bringing in some more folks to learn about de-escalation techniques and how to get that kid restored to a point where everybody can learn. So I think that, you know, those conversations hopefully will result in some really good things that the district will be able to put in place moving forward.
With about 2 minutes left, Dr. Arusi, is this a sad period? Does this resignation come with melancholy that it didn't have to be this way? I could have continued under different circumstances. It's sad. Or, I mean, is that a way to characterize it?
Well, I hope not. I mean, I hope it's not sad. I look back again, you know, would I have liked to have stayed here? Yeah, there's a part of me that would have liked to stay here. Am I excited about the opportunities that I have moving forward? Absolutely. And the time I'm going to be able to spend with my family again is exciting. I look back and reflect on the things that we've been able to accomplish, I'm sad because I've made a lot of great relationships too, and I haven't really talked about that much within the community, like United Way, Kiwanis, Rotary, Marion Can Do, Marion Chamber, all of those, Marion Technical College, all of those relationships that I've built with all the people involved in those areas is sad that I'm not probably not going to be around them anymore. So that's the part I'm going to miss for sure, and I'm going to miss a lot of the activities and the kids in Marion for sure. But that's one thing for sure. But I am excited about the opportunities that are going to be available.
I want to say two
and
things.
I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you too, Scott.
Well, and this is
you're listening
this before
to
we part. Ways here this morning. Two things I want to say. Before you leave on July 31st, I do want to come back and talk about the successes under your tenure in Marion City
Great.
Schools and the thing, the good things, because I think that's important to highlight those as well. And the other thing I want to say, and this is true, and I don't, you know, it's not public knowledge, I have dealt with interviewed a lot of superintendents under the Marion City School bandwagon, a lot of superintendents in general. We have 5 school districts in this area.
Sure.
And nobody has been more accessible than Dr. Arusi. People can say whatever they want to say, but if I emailed him the night before, sometimes the morning of, during these pandemic situations, I cannot remember a situation where you said, I will not come on, or I don't feel comfortable talking about that, or even just said, I'm not available. You tried to make it happen, and that was always helpful to us. So for whatever people want to say going down the road, you really have been accessible and did not try to keep anything under the rug. And that does happen right. from time to time. So I really appreciate it, and I just wanted the audience to know that. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you, Scott. I always enjoy our conversations, and I, you know, I have a lot of trust in you about these types of things. So that's what makes that easy. And I've always tried to be transparent. I don't ever have anything to hide, so there's no reason that I think you are certainly a pipeline to the community, and I appreciate that opportunity to have that.
Stay well, and we're going to talk before the 31st.
Sounds good, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Arusi. Bye-bye. And there's that story, Dr. Ron Arusi, the pastor spot, coming up in about 15 minutes.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.